Welcome to the PC Gamer Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Comiskey.
No, you're not.
Did you hear? It's some sort of video game conference. E3. Welcome to the official podcast of E3. Not actually the official podcast of E3.
Hello and welcome to the PCG podcast at E3. This is our third day at the LA Convention Center, and I'm Tyler Wilde, PC Gamer's newest and sexiest edition. To my right is managing editor Chris Comiskey.
Hi.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling awesome, Tyler.
And we also have senior editor Evan Lottie.
Woo!
Woo! And of course, the wonderful associate editor Josh Augustine.
I kid you not, I was going to do that woo sound exactly, and I can't think of anything else to say.
You just did.
You really did.
Yeah, it was really disappointing, though.
Did you guys ever actually watch wrestling, like, back when it was, like, Ric Flair? And, you know?
No.
I remember watching wrestling, so it was ending, and there was, like, this bit where it's, like, they tried to, like, call him at his home. Obviously, they weren't really doing it. But, like, the guy's answering machine is, like, this is Ric Flair, I'm out with the ladies. If you want to leave me a message, just leave it after the beep in the woo. It's like, beep, oh! True story.
And finally, intern
only
of the
in
year.
America. Only in America. Yeah.
Intern Magazine recently declared him intern of the year, Lucas Sullivan.
Hello. Thank you, Tyler, for the nice introduction.
You're so welcome. How is everyone doing now on this third day? I've hit the wall.
Yeah, well, drinking 3 Red Bulls does that, Tyler.
Yeah.
I don't know why you thought to do that.
It seems like a good idea. I already have to pee.
I'm having a great day.
Yeah, me too.
This is my best day.
Yeah, actually, this one has been pretty relaxed. So, Evan, you saw Torchlight.
Yeah, I got to play Torchlight 2, a new class called the Berserker. They've revealed 3 classes right now. There's still a 4th probably going to be... they haven't said this, but I mean, they don't have a dedicated magic user.
Yeah.
It's got to be some kind of wacky mage or something. And, yeah, looks great. I mean, they showed some of the outdoor areas, which are, Diablo's had those before, and other dungeon crawlers have had them before, but original Torchlight was basically all, you know, fighting underground and a lot more exploration. They're still saying it's probably going to be between 4 and 8 player capacity in the final build, but, like, I got some amazing quotes out of Max Schaefer, the CEO at Runic there, one of the former founders of Blizzard North, worked on the original Diablo. And he was just saying some amazing, amazing stuff about 60% of their copies of Torchlight. It's on Xbox as well.
Whoa.
Wow. Sold on PC. And millions, like 5 million, well, not copies, but Torchlight, the original, has been pirated 5 million times in China.
Whoa, wow.
And he said they don't care. They consider that free marketing, basically, because when they release their Torchlight MMO... in a couple years or a few years, however long it is, you know, they suddenly have an installed base there, basically. So, look really good. You know, the weapons and the spells didn't look like drastically different or anything, but that's kind of okay. I think we all want the same game with multiplayer, and that's what it is.
Yeah,
got a taste of that, and it looks great.
How many pets did you get to see?
They only had the wolf in there, or the dog, whatever.
Yeah,
and the ferret
with the goggles,
running around looking really cool.
Yeah,
cool guy.
So was the berserker your kind of play style, or is it?
I like range more so. I like the muskets and whatnot and bows and arrows and things like that, but it was fun. I mean, it was just very aggressive. Not like a tank necessarily, but, you know, just two-handed brawling, basically, and, you know,
it is what it is. Berserker Claw! No. I wish he did.
He did not, so.
Of course
he did. Yeah, it looks terrific, and always great to see those guys. Should be coming in September or October.
September or October. Excellent.
Yeah,
awesome.
Excellent.
The second thing I typed into my notes, I misspelled as Orca Must Die. Hate whales.
Shamu.
Poaching.
But Orcs Must Die was the other big thing we sort of wanted to talk about.
Yeah, so Lucas and I both played this.
And they really must die. Those jerks.
They're terrible people.
No doubt. They're not people.
So, Orcs Must Die, created by Robot Entertainment. some of the former guys from Ensemble Studios who created Age of Empires, Josh.
Yes, one of the greatest series of all time.
So right now they're working on this title called Orcs Must Die. It's PC and XBLA, maybe PSN as well. It's a third-person sort of action tower defense. So kind of, you know, you're a single character with a bow and arrow and other weapons and other traps that you can deploy. Like, as you're roaming around the level, like, you look at a wall and you're like, I'm going to put a... like a wall that shoots arrows on that wall.
Like a spike extender.
Or like a spring-loaded floor that pushes them to the side and kicks them into some lava. So you're kind of doing that roaming around in real time, in action, and things like that. And the game is off the chain.
It is.
Considerably.
Especially for a budget game.
Yeah.
There just looks to be so much fun stuff you can do.
You can't even see the chain anymore. It left it behind.
It's far in the distance.
The art style kind of resembles Torchlight a little bit. The lighting.
Yeah, I was actually going to say, like, the color same palette, nice colors that look, like, glossy, sort mm-hmm. of.
And I just love that there's some nice, the thing... You know, as somebody that plays a lot of shooters, a lot of action, faster-paced games, or whatever you want to call it, tower defense for me, like, I don't like all the waiting. Like, I don't like that I can react. I can't necessarily always react when something goes wrong. And basically, you know, being able to lay these traps, you can sort of min-max the level itself. You can set up so you're getting a lot of points or doing what you want to do. But, like, if something gets past you, you can chase it down, shoot it with your crossbow, freeze it. There's like a wind belt that gives you like wind power, so you can pick up an individual enemy and then throw them across the level, and they ragdoll really nicely. There's headshots in a tower defense game, and that's terrific, and that's totally my style.
So, have either of you guys played Dungeon Defenders?
I reviewed. That
I have
game.
Not.
So yeah,
but it seemed like that game was like more emphasized on the buildings.
Yes,
whereas this is more emphasized on like. The fact that you can freely move, and the move speed, Evan, would you agree that it is awesomely, like, you don't feel slow, you can feel like you can get to any point
definitely,
at any time?
Definitely, you can, I mean, jumping, and you can dodge midair, those kind of mechanics that you're used to in something like Quake 3 almost, it's not that fast, but it's speedy enough to make you feel empowered.
Also, there's, like, combos for killing stuff, so if you get, like, 5 headshots in a row, then it stacks up and you get more money, basically. Well, your highest combo.
You can always use more headshots in a game.
I think I got, like, 11 kills or something.
I don't remember. They're going to be launching with...
Don't be so modest. You got, like, 50.
50. 57.
That's a lot of headshots.
They're going to be launching with about 24 stages, so you can think about those as, maps in another tower defense game, and... There's flying enemies, so like you have to maybe so say there's like a really high doorway, and you have stuff closer to the ground that's taking care of the ground enemies, but maybe you want to put stuff on the ceiling to take care of the flying enemies as well, or maybe you're going to decide just to deal with the ground enemies and let your traps take care of the flying enemies. It's terrific, yeah.
The trailer that I saw for was actually fairly humorous, like in the way it presented. Is the game like a funny game?
It's kind of goofy.
It's lighthearted. I wouldn't say it's a comedy game by any means. Stuff's trying to kill you.
Also, I want to talk about the enemies a little bit. Like, so Evan said there's flying enemies. There's also, like, super fast crawlers. So if you have a spike trap, they'll just, like, pass right over it since they're so speedy. Yeah. And there's these, what are they called?
Gnolls?
Yeah, gnolls. Uh-huh. Like, they will ignore your traps and just come to kill you.
Yeah, they're speedier.
Yeah.
I just love that there's a timing element, an action-style timing element in a tower defense game. Like, I deploy this really expensive swinging mace ball on the ceiling in this narrow doorway, and there's a really large enemy coming through. And like normally, if I just let him walk through, he's going to get hit once by that. There's a cooldown on the mace; it's going to be a while until it can swing again. But I freeze him right in the middle. Like I get it just right, and it hits him a couple times. I keep stunning him and freezing him, and keeps hitting him, getting more damage. And I love those kind of mechanics. I'm so surprised somebody hasn't done it in this kind of way before. And I can't wait to play this game.
So, like, same. No doubt, like, game of the show?
Biggest surprise of the show for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew it was going to be cool. I didn't expect it. Like, I played... I went over there just casually. I didn't have an appointment. I played 2 full levels, like, all the waves and 2 levels.
And that's what you said you wanted. On Tuesday, you said you wanted to be surprised, and you were.
There you go.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm pleased.
Awesome. So... Chris, in my notes it says that you saw rainbows, unicorns, and cockpits today.
We did talk about that, and I saw the rainbows and unicorns in the cockpit, which
Whoa.
Is a total lie. I saw them this morning after I did acid.
So tell us about the cockpit.
Yeah. So basically, I went up to Mad Cats, which is like this booth kind of out in the middle of nowhere, sadly. And I walked in, and I saw this gigantic cockpit, essentially, with every flight control you can imagine. It was kind of compact, but it's a glass cockpit, which is aviation speak for everything is digital. There's no analog cages.
Okay.
And man, this thing is amazing. It's $5,000, which is kind of expensive sounding, but considering like normal setups like this, which are they're actually going to be FAA certified for training. So normal stuff like this is like $75,000. So you know, if you're looking at it that way, you're saving $70,000.
Yeah, it's a consumer model.
Yeah, yeah. So I really want to get my hands. I mean, I got to play with it, et cetera, but I mean, I only got like 10 minutes with it. So I'm going to try and work this out to where we can actually get it and review it because it's really, really cool. They have like a proprietary monitor that wraps around and it's sort of concave. Concave is one that goes in,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm trying to think like contact.
Well
lenses.
Done. Good geometry
right.
Work.
Yeah. Convex would come at you. And so they have that monitor there, and it's just they have rudder pedals. I mean, it's like the actual. I mean, and coming from a guy who I was flight sim trained, you know, in the Air Force, this is actually more advanced than the flight simulator we had.
Wow.
So, which isn't saying much because I was pretty old.
So I was walking around. It looked like they had monitors. They're basically like half of an eggshell that you're standing. Is
yeah,
that what this
that's
is?
That's what it was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's weird.
It's a weird combination between like a CRT and an LCD because it definitely had like a. It was backlit, so it was kind of big and bulky, but when you buy the unit, it comes with that, too. And the monitor is, like, half the price, apparently.
Actually, I don't know if you're thinking about something else, because I did see there's a big, like, dome. It looks like it's projected inside.
Like, yeah, it's, like, projected.
Dome.
It's, like, it's from your waist
I
to
I think
your
that's
head.
A little different.
Oh, that is different, then.
Oh, okay.
This was definitely, like, a normal size, like, 24-inch screen, but really long, and, like, cool. Like a U that you're basically sitting in. And so, basically, with this station, you can swap out, like, instruments. It's modular. Really, really cool. So that was kind of a surprise for me. Not a game, but, you know, I definitely crashed my Cessna.
I believe game-wise, you also waved your arms in the air as if you just did not care.
Yeah.
Playing some Kinect.
Yeah, so not PC gaming, but I definitely I saw the UFC trainer, and I said, you know, kind of in the martial arts, let's give it a shot. What the hell? Yeah, and so, yeah, for those, I'm like really into Taekwondo and Tang Sudo.
I just started a picture of him covered with bruises, and it's like, oh, it's just a normal day for me.
That was jiu-jitsu, though, which I'd suck at because I'm starting jiu-jitsu. And I've toyed with Muay Thai a little bit. And the guy's like, oh, you've toyed with Muay Thai. Let's do expert mode with Muay Thai. And I was like, okay. And so he's like,
was this versus or are you by yourself?
No, it's just training. So, like, you basically, there's a guy there, like, he's got the mitts. And he's like, all right, give me a cross, give me a left, give me an elbow cross, switch knee. You know, and so I was like, okay, I know what a switch knee is. That's from Taekwondo. But you don't throw a lot of elbows in martial arts I've done. I mean, you do, but not like you do in Muay Thai. It's a much different form and fashion. And I was doing fine with punching and kneeing, but boy, I could not get the elbow. And I was just really embarrassed. And everyone was watching me. It was, yeah, because I guess
the whole school was there.
I was like the first guy who actually like, kind of knew what I was doing, you know? And so all of a sudden, she was like, oh, so you do martial arts? Yeah, yeah. Now this huge crowd comes around. I was like, oh, God damn it. So yeah, it was an experience, and I blew it. I feel totally bad. So, FYI.
But you had the guts, Chris. Yeah. You had the courage.
I had the fire down below, Lucas.
Yeah. Fire.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds kind of wrong.
You could probably get that treated or something.
Wasn't that a Steven Seagal movie, too? I didn't have that. I did not beat the crap out of Andrew Dice Clay and then get philosophical afterwards.
Really?
So, anyway, yeah, that was fun. I mean, so actually, I don't know.
Why did we fight, though?
I've never used Kinect before. It's my first time.
Was it any good?
I mean...
It was touchy. Like, that's why I was bad at it, because it was the cat. No, my form was terrible. But, I mean, it took a little while to get used to. There's definitely, like, a slight degree of lag.
Yeah.
That might have been just because, I don't know, it's on the floor or something.
They love to tell you that, though. Anytime there's a problem with the Kinect system, calibrating's so hard in this lighting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Do you want it for PC?
I think I actually do. If you could... Because I was sort of thinking, like, man, what stuff could we do on the PC with this? And it's like, I'd like to see it. I mean, you need a big monitor, unless you want to, like...
No.
Well, I think there was a hack, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was. I don't remember what it's called, but there's the Portal 2 Motion Edition-y thing.
Yeah.
I don't know what that system is called, but it's not like Kinect. I think it does require a controller.
Yeah.
And you also wanted to just plug something in the mag.
So went and saw Blacklight. Josh and I went to go there. Josh, you saw... What did you see there? I don't know. Rusty
Hearts? Yeah, I saw that and Rusty Hearts. Okay. And
that's right, you played, duh, and you destroyed me because I couldn't use my default control scheme.
Yeah, I beat Chris at a shooter. We need to mark this momentum.
No, we don't.
I'm going to mark it down.
Dude, I don't... Wasty, what is that crap? How do you play with Wasty?
All I know is Chris was running towards me, he had the drop on me, and I still owned him in the face from like 30 yards away.
That's because I kept hitting right-click, which is normally go forward, and I just kept aiming in and out, and not shooting.
Okay, whatever the reason, that's cool. I hit all the right buttons. I hit the right buttons
better.
He hits
the right buttons, man. And he hit them better. He hit them with style.
Yeah.
I will never live this
I just love
down.
That there are mechs in that game. You can get like full-body armor suits.
Yeah.
And you can, and basically, he was saying... There's no limit to how many you can have. You earn it like with currency in the game, not persistent
in
the match.
You get like experience points.
So everyone can have these mechs, and it's just this monster fight. But you know, dudes can get flamethrowers, which blow you out of the mech, like they drive you out. But
speaking of mechs, Lucas and I managed to get in to see Mass Effect
3. Oh, my God. But I do have to throw the plug in there real quick. And I just want to say, I don't want to talk too much about Blacklight because it is in our newest issue, which is coming out very, very soon, but hopefully within the next week. So please check out the issue and read the Blacklight review. It got a Most Valuable Game Award from us here.
It's a free-to-play shooter from Nexon.
Yeah, and it looks amazing.
A perfect world.
A perfect world. Oh!
No, we're talking about Nexon next.
Yeah.
Next is Nexon. But yeah,
next on Mass Effect 3.
Yeah, no, we won't talk about that too much because Josh told us all about it yesterday.
Okay, I mean, just like a quick impression maybe? Just like... 10 words right now.
Go.
10 words.
Like a head in the deck.
Like a tweet.
We didn't get to play it like Josh here. We just saw a demo.
Alright, I'm actually going to count this.
A haiku.
So it looked like Mass Effect 2, but better.
That's
that was a syllable.
With one word to spare. That's good. That's efficient.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It did look better. I was a little disappointed. A lot of what we saw was cutscenes, kind of.
What is this? Yeah. What is this guy doing? I thought 10 words was the
cap. That sounded like 10 words. You know, like I just wanted to see more. I wanted to see dialogue trees. I wanted to see some gameplay. But a lot of what they showed were moments in the game where cutscenes are happening. So I'm like, okay, well, great cutscene, but.
Yeah,
we saw a little combat. We saw some of the strategy that goes in, you know, that you can sort of utilize, and how the new melee sword thing,
the switchblade,
that basically looks straight out of Halo. Sorry, but
Halo, is that a shooter or something?
Yeah, that's a game. I hear.
Did you cry when that kid's ship blew up?
I did not cry because I knew it was coming because you ruined it.
Yeah, it was after talking about it last night at dinner with Jonathan Cooper, like. Knowing what was going to come, I just didn't care at all.
When the kid appeared, I looked over at Lucas like,
"They're done." That's great. Sorry.
But the sound effects of that game were amazing.
Oh, they're good.
I don't know. Yeah. I guess Logan was saying like the Gatling gun sounded plinky, or
the turret sounds terrible. But
it
the rest
wasn't
of the guns
that
sound
bad. But like
Are
the assault rifle, I felt like every
I sounded
bullet.
Powerful.
The turret?
No, not the turret.
Oh, yeah, the assault rifle.
No, the turret was
that.
No.
Like, it sounded like a nail gun or something. Like, nail guns don't make a lot of noise.
Man.
Yeah.
I think gun criticism is, like, my favorite thing.
So, did it sound like crinkling tinfoil, basically?
No, it sounded like a nail gun. But you're shooting a nail gun at a 30-story tall monster and, like, 10 hits kill it? Really?
It did seem kind of silly that he was even bothering.
You knock it down.
Sounds like painkiller.
No. I think the Normandy comes and knocks it down.
Yeah.
But
I don't know what Josh.
It did seem silly that he was shooting at it. Like, it's not going to do anything.
Out of curiosity, why are there more turrets? Like, do we need more
turrets? It's another. You're on the back of a vehicle shooting a turret at a thing.
Yeah,
chasing
man,
you.
I've never done that before.
No.
It's a good thing they put it in.
I mean, it ends quickly.
But whatever. You know, it's a very quick. It's a scene that's just meant to get you to the next segment of a story. We saw a lot of stories.
Hopefully, there'd be a ton of quick time events. That would be super too. Maybe with the turret.
No, didn't see any of that. So.
Yeah.
But we went to Nexon, which is our next topic, and Dragon Nest, or is it Dragon's
Dragon
Nest?
Dragon
Nest.
Like nest.
These are dragons that have nests.
Yes, Dragon Nest. It is a nest of dragons.
And I got to kill Josh many
times.
I don't remember him killing me, though.
Are you kidding me?
Well,
you just gave me crap, but you killing me. You have to take
No, I shredded him.
Oh,
it's early, so there's a bug in the game that made us tie. But once they sort that out, I would have totally beat Josh.
Yeah,
pretty much,
you know.
Like, guaranteed.
I mean, it's not really a bug. Now they're going to get mad that I said that.
You were bugged by it.
Yeah,
that's right.
I'll actually go out and say Dragon Nest was definitely my surprise of the show.
Yeah, it was fun.
I was kind of looking forward to seeing it, but it was really fun. I played like 5 matches at least. Got to play all the different classes. They have PvP and PvE. We did PvP, which is basically just a death match in a room, team death match 2v2. All the abilities are fantastic.
All skill shot.
Yeah, I had to be a dumb cleric. Healing and stuff, but I had lightning. I liked lightning.
Yeah, yeah. Like Lucas said, it's all skill shot. You got the cursor on the screen. My only complaint was there was like too much juggling. Almost like you could control somebody from like half health down to zero, which is like.
But that's kind of cool. I mean, it rewards people that learn combos.
No, it does. But there's no way to break out of it.
You could like dodge it at the last second. But every time I tried to do it against your flamethrower, I'd just die.
Yeah, every time you tried to do it against me, I was just too good, I guess.
And that's why we tied every game we played.
That's right.
Except even the last one.
I don't recall that. But yeah, that was like, I had no idea the game existed. I saw the art, I was like, oh, that's cool, I want to check that out. Then when we played it, I was just like, man, this game is going to be awesome. Am I right, Tyler?
I think, I enjoyed it very much. It's really not my beat, but I still had a lot of fun. Yeah. So.
You can appreciate its appeal.
I can appreciate its appeal. And what else, Josh? Prime World?
Yeah, Prime World. We actually have a preview in the Massive Attack section in our August issue.
That's where it was. Yeah, I knew that name sounded familiar.
It's the MOBA being made by the Russian developer, has the tie-in with Facebook, where you're kind of building up your city in Facebook, gives you some bonuses. The coolest thing about this game is it's for casual gamers too. They have like sort of Zuma's Revenge, like a mini game built into it. So if you don't want to be out fighting, you can play Zuma's Revenge. You get bonuses. The big thing, it's a really fun MOBA. Lucas went crazy about it today.
Yeah, like the graphics. I had seen it in the magazine, and I was like, wow, these are some really nice screenshots. I want to see this in motion. Then when I saw it in motion, I was not let down whatsoever. Like, it's super colorful. Everything looks awesome, and as you're fighting, the terrain changes based on how far your team is pushed. So that happened dynamically with like zero lag, and it was quite cool.
Yeah, it's really cool, because one side is like a technology side, the other is like a nature side, so basically deforestation and stuff, depending on who's winning. The biggest thing I want to mention is in our article, my biggest complaint about the game was the microtransactions. They had built-in where if you were dying, you could hit spacebar, pay however much money, bam, instantly healed. Or bam, instantly res. It's just incredibly unbalancing. They've already completely removed that from the game. There's going to be no microtransactions like in the session at all.
Cool.
So really my only complaint about the game is gone now at this point.
Okay.
So I'm really looking forward to it because it's a fantastic game, gameplay-wise.
Man, day three has been good for everyone.
It's been rich. Yeah. It's been rich.
I believe Lucas saw a League of Tanks. World of Legends.
Yes, so we didn't get to talk about it yesterday. I had to book it. But League of Legends was looking awesome. Me and Josh got to see the new Spectator mode, as well as the next three champions coming
out. So the Spectator mode, are they going to be using that for live streaming and stuff?
Yeah.
Yep, it is made exactly for it. Like, they said they want to promote shoutcasting as much as possible.
Yeah.
And this is, like, perfectly tailored. If they want to take the time to just like learn hotkeys and stuff, they could pretty much make their own show out of any mask.
So one of the things with Dota, I mean, you guys are fully aware of it, like, compared to StarCraft, there's kind of a lot of hidden elements to the gameplay. They don't, like, characters have items, for example, like, without a shoutcaster explaining the significance of the items everybody's carrying, and like, basically there's a lot of invisible stuff, like, why did he do that much damage? Oh, he has it because he bought these boots and whatever. So things aren't as readable in some ways. Are there any aspects of the interface that they're going to solve, that they're going to use to solve those problems?
There are many. Basically, at a glance, you can see so much information. I guess I'll give the full rundown.
So if you
look at a champion, if you click...
Let's start off by saying it's a complete custom UI built for Spectator mode.
Yeah, awesome. And they're like separate from the two teams. So they see it as like a third party. As it should be.
Yeah, yeah. Makes sense.
You can toggle Fog of War for either side. You can see pings for the players as well on the minimap. One of my favorite parts up top, they kind of described it as like the Monday Night Football scoreboard. So they have the scoreboard up top with kills and all the basic information. And every single element in it is toggleable on and off with shortcuts. You can move stuff around, the shoutcaster can.
Wow.
It actually keeps track of how much money each side has made. Which is, like, super important if you play the game a lot.
And that's the one element that's always hidden from the user, because they're gathering gold individually. You never see, like, the combined total, so it shows it up top. On the left-hand side are, like, the player panes that can be brought in or out, and they have the items there on display, and they also have the abilities. It shows you which abilities they're training, and if they're on cooldown, it shows like the cooldown's going. So it's like, well, why didn't he just use his heal? That was really dumb. Like, you can see right there. It
Bingo.
Shows you.
And you can also see when their ultimate is ready and which two summoner spells they picked and if they're on cooldown or not.
That's amazing. I mean, that's so complicated. So such a challenge to sort out. Like, you can't take over the screen. I mean, you want to be able to see the game with interface and icons. And there's potentially 10 players, so how much do you show for each one? That's really encouraging.
It seemed like the perfect balance of, like, information without making the action just, like, a tiny box in the middle of a bunch of other boxes.
Cool. It's just in time for their Season 1 big finale is coming up, DreamHack in Sweden. When is that? Is that later this month? Is that early July?
It's July 17th.
Yeah, it's coming up in July. So it's going to be set up for that. It looks fantastic. And do you want to touch real fast on the champions?
Sure. So we got to see Yorick, the upcoming one. You can actually check out the website if you want a breakdown of each of his abilities. But long story short, he's basically the first true minion champion they're going to have.
What's a minion champion?
So like his main abilities summon, like, what are they called? Specters or wraiths?
Ghast.
Or ghast.
That's what they're called.
They haven't finalized the name. But he basically summons these monsters to just pop up out of the ground, attack the enemy, and then die after like 8 seconds.
Okay.
And you just keep summoning these over and over, and then
so the big distinction,
the enemy down.
Yeah, the big distinction is against pet classes, which summon like a persistent pet that's with them all the time. Maybe the pet has abilities. These are just throwaway guys. You throw them out there, they do some damage, they die.
It's like living ammo, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah, he's like an undead, it's like a Undertaker. So these are like ghosts and like undead people out of the ground that he's calling out. Yeah.
Okay, cool. And his size is crazy. Like, you have to see him in-game.
That's what she said.
Well,
Bravo.
Bravissimo.
Is he the biggest character?
Is he
the biggest member of League of Legends?
Yeah, I'd say the only biggest member. How could you do that to me?
Sorry.
But yeah, he's like as big as Cho'Gath when he's at, you know, his full ultimate size.
that might be going a bit far.
When he's in rage mode or something.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
And we haven't talked about it yet on the website, but we will have stuff for you guys soon. The two champions after Yorick, the Gravedigger, are Riona and Skarner. And we get a female tank, finally. Thank God.
Oh, wow. Really?
True female
First
tank.
First time? Wow.
Mm-hmm. Fans have demanded it. Now they are ready to give. And she looks kind of like a paladin mixed with a sun god worshiper. It's a pretty cool look.
Wow. Sorry, this music just makes me want to like get up and dance right now.
Awesome.
I can't tell where it's coming. We're all kind of bobbing back and forth. It's so epic sounding.
Yes, and the show is truly winding down. We have 1 hour left.
Yeah. We are at the tail end of it.
On the show floor, we're getting in while we can.
We're basically in the boss battle. That's why the music is going off right now.
Yeah, that is what's happening. So since this is the last E3 podcast before we all go back before we go back to San Francisco, why don't we just do a little recap? Like, what was the favorite thing you saw? What were you maybe not sure of? Or what surprised you? Although we already kind of know that, because we've been talking about it for 3 days. We got Veronica Belmont dancing in
doing
front of
an
us.
Irish jig over here.
I'm going to put my mic up to her so you can see her through my mic.
Yeah, break it down.
There you have it.
That's the energy here.
Outstanding.
We are all wide awake. So anyway, yeah, it was just how was this E3 for everyone? Because E3s kind of have a personality in a way.
No huge announcements. I don't think really on any platform. I mean, you can think about the Wii.
Except for the Wii.
That's not a big concern to us.
The Wii U.
Nothing really out of left field in terms of a new game that's blowing us away. But that's okay. I mean, everything that's here.
That's how I felt. It was a lot of very solid stuff that we already knew about, but then proved itself to be solid and
bingo.
Cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything about Far Cry 3. Maybe that was just me being blind.
I never got to see that.
I didn't either.
I don't think they're showing a full demo or anything. It was just the initial.
It exists. Yes.
Yeah. Yes, which is reassuring.
Yeah.
We know it's in a tropical area instead of. Last game was in Africa, right?
It was.
It's a little back to the roots.
The original Far Cry. I never played the original Far Cry.
I will say this E3. there was nothing I was disappointed by. And yeah, I was really, really surprised. Like, sorry, that sounds terrible. But there's usually a game that you come with expectations, and you're just like, oh, really?
There
okay.
was stuff I wasn't sure about that impressed me. And there's stuff I'm still not entirely sold on. Like, I really, really thought that the demo for Prey 2 was cool, but I'm still like, is this gonna work? But I want to play it now. So, like, it got me excited, which is the point of, you know, they're doing.
I need some more TLC from XCOM, I think.
Yeah.
I need a little bit more cuddle time before we get intimate.
Okay. We agree. I mean, like,
you're taking it slow. It's nice. Yeah. Romantic.
From what they've showed so far, I mean, they basically need to show more diverse combat.
Yeah.
As it is, I just want to spend time in the base. I want to spend time picking out guys to bring to battle and, like, working in the research lab and seeing, like, these, like, awesome 1960s, 50s characters walking around doing their thing, animating. So, yeah, it could still be great.
Yeah, we kind of want to do more of the XCOM stuff, right? Like, instead of just the shooting part, we want to see...
Bingo.
Yeah, so...
Want to see people dying.
Yes.
Yeah.
Permanently.
The only thing that really disappointed me is I didn't get a chance to see Arkham City, and I did want to. And
same here.
Yeah.
Actually,
but you can't see everything.
See Arkham City?
I don't think so. No. I'm sure Logan has, though.
Probably.
Right. I mean, being a judge.
Yes, being a very important man. He was actually going to be on this podcast. He's sorry he can't, but he had to run off to Bethesda.
Yes,
and then
literally ran away with some gum. He stole gum and ran away.
Yeah,
and then he wondered if it had sugar.
He was very concerned about that as well.
All right, I feel like we should all pick a best, like a personal favorite of show. Not best of show for people.
Okay, just our favorite. Yeah. Okay.
Personal favorites.
Oh, you put me on the spot?
No.
Can't look at me.
No, I'll go first.
Don't make me pick UFC trainer.
No.
Now we're all just staring at each other
Josh,
in terror.
What was your personal
It has to be Blacklight, right, Chris?
Yeah, that's my gut instinct.
You don't have to say, like, the game that is going to be the best when it comes out.
Yeah,
like,
okay. Yeah,
literally,
exactly.
At the show, you know?
For me, at the show, it's Blacklight.
Yeah.
At the risk of being redundant, I really think... Like, I really hope this game takes off, because the first game is wonderful, but we can't play it because of weird decisions made by the older publisher that was not Perfect World.
Games for Windows.
Yes. So it's impossible to play.
Sounds
a great
like
game.
A James Bond song.
Like, seriously, like, I just hope this gets a big following and I can go in there and play it whenever I want now. So, yeah.
Cool.
Can I do the cliche of Bioshock?
Stop it. I was going to do that. No, it does look fantastic.
Stop
you can
it.
Share, you can share.
And it wasn't just the game. Like, the whole 2K booth had these
really
nice
cool.
little like diorama showing rooms.
It was nicely designed.
Yeah, and it was like a Disneyland theme.
I do appreciate interior design when it comes to my game.
I had to sit in like the walkway though. When
it. Yeah, Lucas walks into the Bioshock Infinite, preview demo, sits on a nice comfy couch, and then I have to wait outside to see if they'll let me in. And he's
I
like,
said,
you can,
Tyler,
you can
know
sit
your
in
place.
The aisle. You can sit in the aisle, and I was like, okay, I'll sit in the aisle.
It was uncomfy as hell, dude. That was a hard floor.
And there was
man.
Some BO in there, man.
Yeah.
But I didn't care because of how awesome.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah! It couldn't.
What was,
nothing could taint that.
Were you shocked by the bio? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yes.
Infinitely.
Very well done. I wasn't shocked by it because Logan had already told me about all of this.
But even that, like seeing it,
but
in motion
seeing
was
it,
just,
I was like, oh
Logan,
man. Logan wasn't messing around. It really is pretty crazy.
And the fire truck scene was definitely surreal. Even though I knew like it was coming.
Yeah, I was like, wow.
Seeing the effect of it was,
and just like the horse, like that was really cool.
Yeah,
I was changing color and like coming back to life, sorta. And then
it, just visually was very impressive. The effects were very cool. But
and
then,
it looked like that. Or sorry, go on.
No, but just like that, like. What it looks like the gameplay is going to be like, and then the flying around on the rails, like, I'm sure we've barely scratched the surface of what they're doing, so I can't wait to see what Levine, you know, is going to give us.
I mean, after seeing that, it makes Bioshock look really limited, since you can't, like, do anything above a second floor,
right.
Whereas this, you could go, like, to a whole nother building and 10 seconds.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's definitely Indiana Jones and the Adventures of Bioshock,
it
but
is.
I think in the best
way.
Yeah,
ways, no, like I
like,
said, it, you know, there's like a Nolan North kind of character. If you don't know that voice actor who always does that snarky, you know, I'm an adventurer and I'm going to protect this girl, you know, that character.
The stark but sort of lovable mercenary that has a change of heart, maybe.
Yes, he probably does, probably, I imagine.
So, Mr. Augustine, I see you pondering over here.
I know, dude, I can't decide.
Waffling.
We've seen, like,
Mass Effect 3 is what you were going to say.
Thousands of games.
I mean, again, like, best showing at the show, not what is the best game, what's going to be the best game, we don't care about that, when it comes out. Like, what had the best showing, what showed you the best stuff, footage, demo, What surprised you? Yeah.
I can't decide. I want to say Mass Effect 3, but I can't. Because as fun as that was, that's not the part of Mass Effect 3 that I love. I just love exploring. Yeah. I love the stories. That's not what this is about. So, I can't decide between League of Legends Spectator Mode. So I'm just so excited, and their passion for esports and pushing that, and just talking about they're redesigning their entire website for their big launch, so that you'll be able to see live tournament brackets updating. You'll see tons of information happening as this is going. I just love that push towards that, just making it accessible, getting it easy for people. But also, the other MOBA that I saw, Prime World. When I saw the game before, I didn't see the Facebook part of it. The Facebook part is gorgeous, where you're building this city and its entire city management system, resource management, crafting built into it. I'm just a sucker for browser games, and I just love the idea that if I'm totally hooked on this MOBA, like League of Legends sometime, if I can spend time at the office or when I'm on the road, kind of with my phone, still investing in that character, I just love that. So, yeah. Two. Take that.
It's fine. I can deal with it. I'm not going to throw Arma 3 in here because, again, like, it was a first look at it. They didn't show a lot. I mean, obviously, I was excited by it, reassured by it, but didn't sweep me off my feet just because we didn't see like live battle environment in an actual way. It was kind of scripted, very very short. But Orcs Must Die. Oh my god!
I knew it was coming. That made your E3. It sounds like
that's the game I want to play most right now. That when it comes down to it, and it's like playing Torchlight, but the game cares about your marksmanship. That's totally the kind of game I want to play. And it's like playing a tower defense game, but you don't have to wait. You know,
that's
just totally up my alley.
That's awesome.
You know, mowing down tons of enemies, and
So, what type of character did you play as?
Oh, sure. I think is there only one character?
There is only one. I asked them. Yeah, he can like cast spells as well as use weapons. I think he's called like the war mage.
Yeah, there's. You know, you would expect in that type of game to have like multiple classes or something, but there is a melee weapon. There is like a fire bracelet or something. And there's an ice bracelet. There's the bow and arrow is the default weapon.
Yep.
So he's basically an archer. But he can use all these different weapons and kind of specialize, I guess.
And every single weapon and spell has a secondary fire. So I was using like this fire blast, and the guy showing me the game was like, oh, try using a fire wall. And then I used that to like funnel all the orcs into this one super spiked up area.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the joy of building a machine in which orcs die and ragdoll in a beautiful way, and you're responsible for it. I mean, what more do you want?
Nothing bad about
that. You're building a device through which they are destroyed.
That's awesome. Is that co-op, by the way, or is it single player only?
Single player only. Okay, cool. I have a feeling like if they don't do an expansion or something, like if they do a sequel, if it's successful, I think that's what they'll think about. Kind of like Torchlight again.
Yeah.
But really, really impressive game. I think everybody will be playing that.
Awesome.
Chris, I'm surprised you restrained yourself and didn't say Skyrim.
Skyrim.
There you go. Okay. I was just waiting. Had to get it in there.
What about yourself, Tom?
Well,
Skyrim.
I
stole your idea.
It was yours. But okay. Well, if I have to have another idea because you stole mine.
I claimed what
before
was mine.
I even had a chance to speak. Jeez, that's hard.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, that's a really weird game.
Yeah.
It's called Jeez, That's Hard.
Well, you can just have my other one since I did too.
Mass Effect 3 was pretty cool. Man, I've been running around so much. I did get to play Rage, and I warmed up to it, which I think a lot of people are saying now.
Yeah,
same.
Because I was very much at first like, yes, it's beautiful, but is it just another id shooter, like the same kind of... But I played it, and I was like, no, maybe it's not just Borderlands with better graphics. Maybe there is something more to it. And just watching the enemies, like, do their non-scripted, like, crazy acrobatics, I was like, yeah, this is pretty cool. So I can't say that's, like, the best in show for me, but so that we can talk about something that's not Mass Effect 3 anymore. Rage, I'm warming up to. I want to play it more.
That's good. I was worried. I mean, it was almost, like, cool to not like Rage. I don't want to make it sound like there's
I know,
any,
it was.
I mean, there wasn't, like, groupthink happening in the games industry necessarily, but, like... I think people were expecting something like, oh my goodness, this is revolutionary. But, you know, it just kind of turns out to be very visually impressive, technically impressive.
They know how
which
to make
is fine, which is fine.
They know how to make sure. Yeah, I'm not doubting it at all. I just, you know, I really, you know, I just hope that it's, that it, you know, I guess the fear was that this will be a tech demo game, and like,
right.
we definitely don't want that. We want it to be a great game on its own, and now I feel like maybe, you know, it's looking that way, so I hope so.
This is, I think, the first time that it has developed like a game specifically for the console and PC. I mean, without a doubt, it's definitely like behind it. So, but still, that said, it does look good.
It does look cool.
I want to tack on one more thing. I can't talk about it, so it's kind of a weird tease, but I saw something being made by the guys from People Can Fly. Former Painkiller. Former Painkiller developers. I can't say anything about it. We're going to be revealing it probably this month. It's coming out this year.
People Can Fly with Bulletstorm.
Yeah, they do.
Okay, right.
The little pilot.
Oh, I'm already
Yeah, it's not People Can Fly. It's some of the former guys from there.
Some of the former guys, yeah.
And CD Projekt, who made The Witcher.
Oh, awesome.
Really, really impressive. You'll be hearing more about it from us soon.
Will be called Pain Bringer? Is that a pain? No? Nothing?
Probably.
Cricket.
I hope so.
Thunderstorm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sweet.
Bullet Bringer. That's me, man. Yeah. When I walk into a room.
Bullet Pain.
Like, it's the Bullet Bringer. And
Bullet Pain.
Bullet Pain. Max Bullet 3. Wow, Rockstar's not here, are they? I guess they don't usually come.
They're too cool for school.
They are too cool for E3.
As is Blizzard.
But
sadly,
I would like to see some.
Was there like some big Mac thing going on this week too?
Yes, there is.
I don't
at
even
the
know.
Exact same time.
They did the same thing as GDC. They were right across the street from us, like announcing iPad 2, right?
Yes.
Oh,
they love
doing
that.
Man, they're fucking with
it
our
is
games.
Not a good
time. Like, come on, man. They're, like, if this was The Wire, they are straight up like slinging in our corners.
we gotta go
light them up.
Do any of us know what they announced?
Yeah.
Do
we care?
Oh, I know. I heard like our friends Norm Chan and Will Smith.
Yeah.
Ah, Tested.
Over at Tested.com.
Yep.
Basically saying, they just introduced a bunch of features that third-party developers were doing a while ago, and they told them not to do.
So but now they're
rolling it out as innovation, basically.
Apple loves to do that.
Man, Apple's so controlling and ridiculous.
But I am happy to see more games, a little bit of a resurgence on the Mac. Because
me too.
I started as a Mac gamer, and, you know, I want... not that I have or can afford a gaming Mac, but, you know...
Yeah.
But I'm happy to see it because
no, I mean the more the merrier.
Yeah,
absolutely,
exactly.
No, we're not
because PCs are personal computers.
Yeah,
and Macs are PCs. So
I'm not going to shun Mac gamers or any gamer. I mean, just I'm going to shun Apple.
We're all one
because they're lame as hell. But
yeah, they are. That's true.
On that note,
I want to sleep for 18 days straight.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to ask you guys, what was the craziest thing or like the weirdest thing about E3? I mean, this is Chris's
first
E3. This is Lucas's first E3. This is Josh's second Luca.
How long have you? Number four.
I'm also my fourth.
Quattro.
But for you guys, like anything surprising about the level of activity or like?
I have a follow-up question to that.
Okay.
That me and Evan discussed.
Answer a question with a question.
No, I mean...
That's cool.
This guy's a real politician over here.
Weirdest thing I saw. What was up with that helicopter, the airflow thing or airflow? Like, I did not get that at all.
The hovering
fake beach?
Oh, yeah. The booth outside.
What the
heck was that? They're here every year.
In the exact same spot.
No. It was on the show floor. Like,
yes, they have one on the show floor,
They have one outside, one in here.
Geez, what are those called?
They're just like remote-controlled
like
hovercraft, right?
AR drone.
Yeah. And the reason they kind of make a gaming tie-in is that basically you can use an iPhone to control it via a camera, and there is kind of a game where you can kind of shoot the other ones down.
It's kind of cool.
We have a couple
in
the office, and I couldn't get it to work, but
and everyone else was very glad that you
there's
couldn't.
Like an Admiral here in our booth.
But there,
a what?
Admiral.
Say that again.
Oh, look behind! It's a straight up admiral.
There really is.
Wow. Yeah.
Should you be saluting?
I almost had a moment of like, oh shit! I gotta like call the room to attention. Like seriously,
I thought you said Avril, like Avril Lavigne.
No,
Avril Lavigne.
I would not call the room to attention if Avril Lavigne was here. Sorry, I would bring my attention to her, but I don't even like her anyway.
So how did you feel? What was weird, Chris?
E3 in itself was weird. Like, I expected it to be a lot like GDC, very sort of not what. What's a good word to say? So, for example, at GDC, there's no people screaming and yelling to get like free T-shirts and stuff.
Right.
And there was definitely that going on here. So there was definitely, I guess, a level of non-media that I mean, I guess everyone's supposed to be media, but there's definitely like, you know,
There's a lot of people.
Peasants.
A lot of people.
Bad serfs.
Yeah. A lot of people come along, you know, to the booths.
No, yeah. And,
you know, they are exhibitors, technically, but they're exhibitors who don't have much to do, so they stand in line to see Battlefield 3 or, you know.
Yeah, so, I mean, that was unexpected. I mean, maybe not in a bad way, just something I wasn't prepared for. I didn't think there'd be lines, honestly. It's that's more like PAX, which is fine. And really big. I knew E3 was big, obviously, but I didn't realize it was. This is literally, keep me honest, Evan, probably a little bit bigger than PAX, or maybe about the same size.
It's probably about the same size.
Seems that way.
PAX is 60 or 70. I've heard that E3 is generally 60-something.
So, yeah. I mean, so those are kind of my first impressions.
Now, Chris, I want to get this straight. The weirdest thing you saw here was people standing in line.
Kinda. Just because I really had this expectation in my head. Like, dude, I've been like thinking about for E3 for a decade. I mean, I literally remember reading about E3 back when it wasn't even called E3. It was called something else. Like, back in the late 90s. I think, was it like CES back then? And then, I don't know. It was called something else. But I remember like reading about it and just seeing it, and it's just a totally different landscape than I expected. Yeah. And Josh just died, apparently.
Sorry.
It's the weirdest.
I've gotten no sleep this week.
Yeah.
I do long blinks, and that's how I'm maintaining myself.
Oh, I'm awake. No. I mean, I've been to a few of these, and like the first one I went to was with the scaled-down E3, which was, that was fun. We were in a hangar. It was great.
Geez.
It feels, because last year was big again, big normal E3. This feels even a little bigger than last year, I think. I was interested to see that I didn't realize how many companies recycle their booth. Like, the Nintendo and Sony setups were exactly the same as last year.
Yeah, they just put that stuff in storage.
Really?
Yeah,
they just leave it here in L.A. somewhere and put it back up.
Yeah, leaf blower.
Which makes sense. I guess, like, I never really thought about it. Like, oh, yeah, they're not going to pay to set up any. But I guess the weirdest thing I saw was I go to a lot of parties, I guess you could say, when I'm at E3.
Parties.
Oh, stuff.
I know what you're going to say. I should have said this. God damn it.
No, you don't know what I'm saying. I guess the weirdest thing for me is just meeting my freaking idols, you know?
Oh, okay. That's not what I was going to say.
I met American McGee last night, and I'm a huge fan of Alice, and I was like, hi. You know, Logan looked absolutely mortified at the way I acted. And I met a couple people from Valve the other night, and that was very, very cool to meet Doug Lombardi. And
we got to talk to Jonathan Blow, the creator of Blade.
Fantastic. Yep. That's the kind of thing
like
that would just...
One-on-one.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I have to ask. I mean to interrupt, but we were talking about this at dinner the other night. Did any of you ask about the secret ending?
No, unfortunately.
Oh, man.
We're all talking about his next game, The Witness.
The Witness?
Yes. Whoa.
Based off the Harrison Ford movie of 1984.
Nope.
How much
probably.
Community.
Nope.
If it isn't, fine, it isn't, but we should make that. Let's get together after this and talk about a plan.
We'll do it. Put together an action item list.
Cool.
Yeah.
Josh, how about you? Weirdest thing you
weirdest
saw?
Thing is definitely those giant tanks that are out front of
the
convention.
Oh, yeah. There are some proper tanks
in
there.
Right across from us.
Yeah. I was actually talking with them, and these are actually local, like, enthusiasts. Yeah, the reenactors, too. Yeah. They have the full costume, and they're out there all day with these. They have two tanks outside and one tank on the show floor.
What do they have, Chris? What are the models?
It's a Sherman and a T-34.
Yep.
There you go.
Beat me to it.
Yeah, so they're here for World of Tanks, obviously, but just seeing that is incredible. And then seeing a guy on top of it, as I was walking over, a PR guy was on top, like, quelling the crowd.
Yeah.
Like, and shout if you want tanks!
It's
just, like, into a rabid frenzy. It's just like, it's
oh, wow. Three cheers for tanks.
I want Chris to do that again.
it really was on the verge of a revolution. Yeah, we were in danger of getting trampled.
I mean, they're actually giving away these, like, RC, remote-controlled, like, airsoft
tanks. They were actually throwing out tiny tanks this time. Yeah,
Josh got a big tank.
Yeah, and then I said, hey, Josh, how are you going to get that on the plane? And why did you ruin it?
I know. My hopes and dreams were
before,
crushed.
Sacrifice your clothes.
Before we hear from Lucas, I want to find out, what Chris, did you think I was going to say? Is it, like, me climbing out of the backseat of a car and kicking our VP in the hand, or apparently
I could have said something that I won't, because that would be really... I won't do that to you, man.
Thank you, sir.
You're my boy.
Thank you, sir.
But what I will say is when we were at American McGee's, that dead rabbit, like, art exhibit.
Oh, that was fantastic.
Like,
that
a literal really dead rabbit, like, holding a, like...
Well, it wasn't actually
like
a dead...
Taxidermy?
It was a model, I think.
No, it said taxidermy.
Are you kidding? It did?
Yeah, it said it right in the label.
Oh, I thought it was
a
sculpture.
It was, like, a $1,700 sculpture that you could buy. Basically, it was a dead rabbit with, like, a monocle, or like a watch in its hand. And underneath that was this big, like, dog cage filled with blood.
Okay, that's pretty weird.
Damn. So,
there you go. See, that's a little better.
Yeah, you win that one.
Yeah.
already said mine. The AR.
Well, didn't you have a question to go
with
it?
Yeah, I did. But did Evan say his weirdest thing?
I don't know if I have one. Everything was pretty ordinary.
It's just all, you're like, at this point, you're just like, no.
This was a pretty E3, and there was no crazy surprise announcement.
There was no Kentia Hall, right? Like, I heard that was like the thing before.
It's kind of out here, right in front of us. There's some retro stuff. I saw Hulk Hogan. I don't know.
That's cool.
It's kind of weird.
All right, guys, we've got half an hour. We have to find something really weird to do to Evan until this
is
over.
To, like, dump Gatorade on his head or something?
Yeah. Well, we actually got to meet some freelancers. That was, I'm going to say cool, not weird, that write for us for the first time. Like, these are guys that we've sort of, like, you know, been working with over email.
Virtual friends.
For several months, yeah. E-friends, whatever you want to call them. And good to put
best
a
buds.
Face to an email, yeah.
What if the tanks were actually here for, like, Sonic the Hedgehog? That'd be pretty weird.
That would be weird. Actually, that is a weird thing I saw. Seeing Mario and Sonic standing next to each other. As a child, this is like, that's heresy. Like, well, that could never happen.
That's wrong.
Yeah.
It just looks wrong.
It's not canon.
It just looks wrong. I don't know.
Yeah.
It isn't.
All right. Here's the follow-up question of the show. Which booth babe were you most ashamed to be attracted to?
God.
You are only asking that because you have an answer.
I have an answer.
Go for it.
Go.
And that would be the Joker girl at the Gotham City Imposters booth. I was like, what the heck is this? Because it's a girl in, like, full Joker makeup, green hair, and, like, flowery, psychedelic tank top? And I was like, okay, I guess I'm okay with this.
I was attracted to, like, every booth, babe, and I'm not ashamed of any of the attractions.
Well, yeah. Of course not.
Yeah. So, there.
All right. Evan?
I'm not going to answer.
You're looking at me like... I mean,
you're going to get people in trouble with this because, like, Josh is married. Evan's going to go around.
Tyler?
I didn't know there were booth babes here. I've been looking at the games.
We have them in our booth, Tyler.
Good answer.
Actually, yes. I was telling Lucas the other day that I don't pose for photos with booth babes. They ask to pose with me, and that's just how I roll.
You have that.
You know, and I usually say no. You know?
Yeah. You got to pick and choose
who
you take pictures with.
All right, let's take it out with style.
Yeah. Well, wait. How are we going to do that?
Usa East 5 Leben 8 9.
Wow, less German.
That was more just Polish, maybe.
All right, I got to go get my bag.
I got to go pee.
We'll talk to you again next week.
Back in the office, back to normalcy. Feeling
it will not be special, but it will be special.
Feeling more awake.
Every episode is special.
Always. All right. Later.
Ladies.
This podcast was recorded live from E3 in front of probably a few people. Sir D3. Be more excited.